Oh, the gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, Christy, it is Memorial Day weekend. You know what that means?
Everybody's going to be out barbecuing?
Yes. Love that barbecue. Love the ribs.
Yeah, me too.
Your mom makes the best ribs in the world.
Oh, that is true. She really does.
Yeah. Fall off the bone. I can't even eat ribs in a restaurant anymore. Your mom's are so good.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Used to be a big rib eater. But now only at home.
Well, and not even that often because, you know, Memorial Day, 4th of July, that's about it, honestly.
Yeah. She doesn't cook ribs that often, maybe twice a year. We got to fix that.
No. It makes it special.
That's true. Hey, you know what else happens this weekend? Your little sister's going to be thrilled.
The pool opens.
Pool opens. That's it.
Got it.
Yep. Lots of folk go to the beach this weekend. Of course, I wouldn't do that. It's too crowded. I like the beach, but I like nobody to be there.
Yeah, we go in like April, October.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to have the beach to yourself. That way I can take my shirt off without fear.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nobody wants to see that.
No. And let's not talk about that anymore either. Obviously, we're thankful for those who have actually fought in defense of our nation, in defense of our freedoms. And we'll talk a little bit more about that perhaps on Memorial Day. But leading into this Memorial Day weekend, just thinking about America, of course, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we always think about. But we want to sort of merge the two together, not like in a God and country thing where we're given to idolatry, but, you know, in sort of a proper perspective thing, if I could put it that way, okay?
Okay.
But read a post entitled The Meaning of America by Scott Allen, and I really appreciate the post in a lot of ways. Now, there might be one or two things I might add to it if I had written it, but...
Well, okay.
You know... That's probably always the case.
Right.
And then when I write stuff, people can add to my stuff or take away. Speaking of your mom, she likes to take stuff out of my articles. She thinks you shouldn't say that.
Sometimes it's better when you leave stuff out.
Yeah.
I have to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. All right, let's get to it.
Okay, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the meaning of America. Where were you?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'm not gonna go through this entire piece, but in the midst of this article, he gives a list of what he calls the American core. And he says, you know, some people would add to it, some people would take away. There's no doubt that some would take exception to a couple of the things that he's put down there. But even though it's not comprehensive, he says, you know, reasonable people should sort of, you know, agree that this is really, if you think about it, what it means to be an American. He says basically that America was founded on a set of ideas, right? Founded on a set of principles. In fact, he quotes somebody, maybe I should find that in the article. I think it was Margaret Thatcher, if I remember correctly. She said, here it is, Europe was created by history. America was created by philosophy. And I think that's right. America is not defined by a shared ethnicity, for example. It's defined by a set of ideas and values.
Right.
So what are those ideas and values? What is it that makes America, America? So let's just talk about this list. Can we do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, it's not the Dean's list. It's Scott Allen's list, but it's going to work.
Okay, we're putting it on the Dean's list.
That's right. It's on the Dean's list now. All right, here it is. Number one, the acknowledgement of a transcendent moral order.
Okay.
Now, right?
Yeah, but people don't believe that anymore.
No, they don't. Now, he's written a subsequent piece, a follow-up piece, talking about the new emerging core in America.
Oh.
Now, we're not going to talk about that today.
Okay.
We may talk about it next week. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
So we're going to talk about America was when it was founded.
Yes, this is what America has been up until now. All right, so a transcendent moral order, the acknowledgement of such. Now, there are other peoples and other places and other times who have acknowledged such, but a country as a whole built on that. I mean, what he's saying is this is unique. Now, I don't know that we want to debate that. Maybe we could, maybe we couldn't. I don't know. But here's the point. What does he mean by a transcendent moral order, first of all? Well, he's talking about the fact that there is a God. He's talking about the fact that God is real.
And the fact that our founding fathers acknowledged that. And
that's right.
And they made the founding documents based on that knowledge.
Right. That's right. They weren't all, you know, Christians. Some of them were deists. We understand that. But they certainly acknowledged what we would call natural law. They would certainly acknowledge nature and nature's God. And, you know, we would quibble with those who were deists over who God is. And anyway, we could talk at a deeper level about that. But all I'm saying is that I think that's right. The acknowledgement of transcendent moral order, which means there is such a thing as right and wrong, for example.
Right. I was about to say the exact same thing.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
No. That's okay. They acknowledge that there's a standard that all people should live by.
Mm-hmm.
And that standard is unchanging.
Yes. Now, here's my question, though. And again, we know that this notion is eroding in America today. So hence the follow-up article we may or may not talk about next week. But here's my question. Is this notion, you know, this makes America America, but this notion of a transcendent moral order, is this something that Americans just came up with? Or is this rooted in something more foundational? Is this rooted in something larger? Despite the fact that many of our founding fathers were deists, but is this rooted in something?
Well, you just gave the answer, I think, by asking your question the way
you
did.
I'm sorry.
Because why did the pilgrims first come over to America?
Mm-hmm.
Or why did the first settlers come over here? It was because of religious persecution, right?
That's right.
And
well, some of them. I mean, there were others who came for different reasons. But yes, a lot of people came for that reason, religious freedom.
Right. They wanted to come to a place where they could worship the way they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And so those people, when they came over, obviously, and I forget where I'm going. I just lost my train of thought. But it's rooted in a Christian worldview, ideas of morality, because no one can deny that the first people that came over to America did believe in God, and it was rooted in a Christian worldview.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. Now, let me take that and segue into his second point.
Okay.
And we can elaborate a little bit. We're talking about the American core. These are like 10 bullets, 10 foundational points. God-given rights, this is number two, God-given rights to life, liberty, and freedom of conscience.
Right.
Now, I mean, the first little phrase, God-given rights.
Mm-hmm.
So, government doesn't create rights. Rights are not handed to us by government. Rights are given to us by God. That's massive.
And it's not even just you all have these rights just because that's how it works kind of thing. Which is, I think, where we've come to now. People mm-hmm. think they have a right to this and that, but they don't believe that it's a God-given right. And I think that that's also where you get into the idea of, oh, we have the, not only now do people say we have the right to life and liberty and pursuit of happiness, freedom of conscience, but we have the right to health care and housing and all this stuff because they've forgotten or we've strayed away from the fact that we have certain God-given rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to be the standard. And it was for a long time.
Yeah, and look, very insightful what you're bringing up. Folk think they have a God-given right to health care, for example. That is because they believe that the state or the government is God.
Well,
the government provides everything.
I'm saying they think it's a God-given right. It's just a right.
Well, I understand that, but what I mean is, I agree with you 100%. I'm not disagreeing.
And so that's why it's become tainted, because it's no longer God-given rights. It's personal rights that we just kind of have, whoop-de-doo.
That's true. But I'm simply making a further point that folk believe they have a right to health care. And if they can't get it on their own, then the government has to provide it.
Right, right.
And that's what I mean by, I'm putting religious language on what they believe. If you believe the government is here to provide you for your every need, to give you your rights, then government is your God.
Right.
The government is your provider. And this is part of the emerging core in America today. In fact, Scott Allen points this out in the follow-up piece that we mentioned earlier that we may or may not deal with next week.
Okay.
Just saying, interesting, you're already going down that road. And
I should have stayed within the confines of the topic.
Well, no. I don't mean it that way. I mean, Christians should think at multi-levels. We just don't.
Right.
And somebody said, well, why is it so important that you think these things through? Why is it so important that you think at multi-levels? Why are you even talking about this today? Because we have to know history. We have to know philosophy. We have to know where ideas come from. We have to know what's what. We have to look through a lens of Scripture, of course. That's, you know, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But if we don't understand, then we don't understand to our own peril. And the reason that we have a different core today, an emerging core, if we're going to skip ahead to next week, is because folk have forgotten who we are as Americans. And Scott Allen makes that very point in this piece and in the next piece, that we've forgotten who we are as Americans. But what I want to say is Scott really hasn't got to it. Now, in conversation, he probably would. I don't know. I don't know the man. But he's writing on Daryl Miller's website. And Daryl Miller is certainly, he's all about, you know, the Christian worldview. So, anyway, the point I'm making is that the reason people have forgotten what it means to be an American is because they've forgotten all about God.
Right.
And so this is my issue with the piece. And I'm not here to talk about my issue with the piece. I like the piece, but I'm just going to say, okay, well, let's push it back a little bit further. What made America America? It's not just that Americans got together and these ideas sprang from Americans. No, these ideas sprang from Christians. These ideas mm-hmm. sprang from men, even the deists, who had been influenced by a Christian worldview. And what makes America America is the Christian underpinning.
Okay, so I see what you're wanting to do. You're wanting to take the article mm-hmm. that he wrote and give a little bit more depth to it.
Well, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it now.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. And it's not just debt for debt's sake. It's just to say, because we're going to make a point at the end, you know, about Christianity and a Christian worldview. You don't come up with this stuff on your own.
Okay.
There have been different people in different places who've come up with an idea here or there, but solely for pragmatic or personal reasons. You know, we mentioned Ayn Rand, I think, on a recent broadcast. The objectivist, atheist, yet she's a libertarian. So she believes in liberty and freedom. Well, that was because of her commitment to her individual autonomy. You know, it was a selfishly motivated dynamic. And so, again, there's some people who come up with things that overlap or things that are rooted in a Christian worldview from time to time without even realizing it's rooted in the Christian worldview, again, for distorted or sinful reasons. But ultimately, liberty, for example, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, liberty of conscience, these things are rooted in the reality of God and the fact that God has created us and given us these rights. And, of course, what Scott Allen is pointing out is that that's part of the American core, that we not only acknowledge God in a transcendent moral order, but we acknowledge that God has given us these rights.
Okay.
Now, number three, if God has given us these rights, then, of course, we recognize the inherent dignity and value of all people.
Right.
Now, a lot of liberals today would say, well, we recognize the dignity and inherent value of all people. That's what the whole transgenderism dynamic is about, they would say.
Well,
the LGBT agenda, that's what that's about, they would say.
They're saying that and then at the same time killing millions of babies every year through abortion.
And that is exactly right. And it's really not about the inherent value and dignity of all people. It's about convenience.
Mm-hmm.
It's about non-discrimination rather than rights. It's about putting people down who don't agree with what they say.
And their version of non-discrimination isn't really discrimination.
Exactly. And that's what I meant by putting people down who don't agree with what they say. So they're confused. But if you believe in the inherent dignity and value of all people, including unborn babies, it's because you believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you may not believe in God, but it's because you've been influenced by a Christian worldview, whether you realize it or not.
Right, because without a Christian worldview, it's just survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
And so abortion, for example, really does come from an evolutionary worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about the strong can have the power to do what they want to the weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, might makes right. So I can do whatever I want to, because it's my body. It doesn't really, and I am in authority over this unborn baby, so I can do whatever I want.
That's right. You have power.
Right.
Yeah, you're bigger. You know, you talk about being a bully. I mean, that's, you know, I'm bigger, I'm more powerful, so I do what I want. All right, let's move on. Number four, the rule of law, or constitutionalism, but the rule of law as opposed to the rule of a king, oligarchy, or majority.
Hmm.
And again, we've talked about this from time to time. A lot of people think America's all about majority rule. That's not necessarily true. We do vote, and the majority does win from time to time, and there are things that are unfair when, you know, like what could have happened in the Republican primary system.
Mm-hmm.
All these people that voted for Trump, like him or hate him, had the GOP somehow stolen the nomination from him, certainly within their rights as a Republican Party to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make it right. See, in that case, you're overriding the will of the people, and that's wrong. But sometimes the people vote for things, the majority may vote for something that goes against our core values, our core principles. For example, the majority of the people might vote for abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't run a country, at least it's not America. If the majority of the people vote for slavery. See, you can't have slavery in America. You can't have abortion in America if you're holding to the American core. Now, the problem is...
We're not anymore.
This ain't America no more, okay? Yeah. And the problem is we don't hold to those values anymore. And at the same time, when we talk about slavery, for example, all that says is that America has not always been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're filled with a bunch of sinners. And we haven't always been consistent. But if you're going to truly believe in the inherent dignity and value of all people, and if you're truly going to believe in the rule of law, you know, then the mob doesn't rule. Mob rule is evolutionary. It goes back to what you were saying a moment ago.
Whoever's stronger are the ones in power.
That's right. And so it's the rule of law, not the rule of a king or an oligarchy. Of course, America has been basically an oligarchy for a long time. It's just a handful of powerful elites who have control. But that's not our core value. That's not what America is. Again, we keep getting into next week. You can't help it, right?
Right. It's connected.
That's right. But even the king is subject to the law. See, in a lot of other countries throughout history, the king is above the law. The king is the law. But that's not the way it's supposed to be in America. All right? Now, a lot of presidents treat it that way, but anyway. Here's another one. The importance of a flourishing civil society.
Okay.
In other words, strong families, religious, educational, and charitable institutions. And this society forms virtuous, self-governing citizens, helps those in need. So it's families and churches, for example, that help those in need. We govern ourselves. We're flourishing because we have that moral core.
That's also stems from a biblical worldview.
Of course.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm. And a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined into his wife. That doesn't mean that God doesn't cause some people to be single. He certainly does.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there are married couples where, you know, God takes one of them home. But essentially, if you look at the book of Genesis, the family is the foundation of society.
Mm-hmm.
Be fruitful and multiply. Take dominion over the earth. All right? So these are American principles. All right, here's another one. Number six, I guess. The importance of diffusing power. In other words...
That's funny. That's not happening today.
No, no, no. See, ever since we started up, there have been forces at work, people at work, who are trying to centralize power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alexander Hamilton, for example. Abraham Lincoln. Franklin Roosevelt. Barack Obama. I mean, I could go on. I mean, and I could name a lot of others in between. But part of our value system is the importance of diffusing power, federalism or republicanism, rooted in a recognition of the human tendency to amass power towards selfish and corrupt ends. When you centralize power, you become tyrannical. You're a tyrant. And, you know, Lord Acton said, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But what is that notion rooted in? And what is this core value that we hold as Americans, that is part of what makes America America, this recognition of the human tendency to amass power towards selfish and corrupt ends? Where does that notion come from? Where does that recognition come from? Is it just mere observation, or is it something else?
It's something else. The Bible says none is righteous, no, not one.
That's right.
The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked, and that you should not love money. You can't serve two masters, and all of this, and honor.
Right, right. It's rooted in a biblical view of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're totally depraved.
Right.
And see, all of these things flow from a biblical worldview. Does that mean that we're trying to make Christians out of everyone? No, but it does mean that a society, a civil society, is rooted in some kind of worldview. There's no such thing as neutrality. And so some worldview is going to guide your society, whether it's Marxism, communism, technocracy, socialism, you know. Or maybe it's, again, a Christian worldview that undergirds it. And that Christian worldview that undergirds it, yes, it means that we believe in a transcendent moral order. But it also means that we believe in the dignity of every human being, as we've said, which means we believe in God-given rights to freedom. And so we don't impose our own moral values on others. That's part of the morality that we recognize. And this is where Christians are confused, at least one area. We ban abortion because people have a right to life, not because abortion is immoral. There are plenty of moral issues that we don't ban through the government.
Right.
We try to persuade people not to engage in them as we preach the gospel.
Yeah, we've said it before on this show. We're not going to ban pornography, even though it's a horrible sin and we don't want anyone to do it. We're not going to make it illegal through the law, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Correct. Now, child pornography is something different because you're exploiting children.
Right.
Somebody say, well, you're exploiting women. Well, women are adults that can make their own decisions. I think pornography is a terrible scourge. I mean, we could wax all day long about
how horrible
it is and the dangers and the deleterious effects and all of that. But there again, I don't have the right to tell this person you can't view it. Where do I mm-hmm. come off? Okay, I don't want to get excited, but where do I, you know, come off with believing that I can outlaw that?
Right.
And so I'm saying that's Christian.
Christians want
pornography eradicated from the land, but we don't want to do it through tyranny. We want to do it through persuasion.
Right, because you can't eradicate it from the land if you have a land full of lost people.
Exactly.
Because unbelievers are just going to... I mean, it's our human nature. We talked about it on one of the other points.
Right.
It's our human nature, sinful nature, to fulfill our lusts and our desires, and lost people are going to do it however they feel like they should. And the only way to change them is through the gospel and to show them that God satisfies all of your desires. It's about Christ.
That's right. And I don't want to, and you didn't say this, but some people would say this, well, you know, they're going to do it anyway, so we're not going to outlaw it. Well, that's not really what you're saying. That's not where we're coming from.
Right.
It's true. They are going to do it anyway. But the reason we're not going to outlaw it, as you have said, is because we don't have the right to infringe on their rights.
Right, correct.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, we just got to get that clear. And I know that sounds strange to Christian ears. I understand that. You know, it sounded strange to me a few years ago. It sounds strange to people I know and love. But you've just got to apply.
Yeah, think about Jesus. Jesus didn't ban lying or steal, or, well, stealing needs to be banned. Never mind. But he didn't.
Because you're taking someone else's property.
Right, but he didn't go around using the government to enact his law.
That's
he
right.
He used persuasion and the Holy Spirit works.
That's right. And that's why
and he used the gospel.
That's why we preach the gospel. That's exactly right. That's your point. Absolutely. All right, and we got to move quickly.
Yes.
We got like four more principles. The importance of hard work and personal responsibility.
That's a good one.
See, we're rooted in that. Where does that come from?
Comes from, I guess, a biblical worldview.
Bible. Man that won't work won't eat.
Oh, right.
God worked. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. He said work. I mean, work. We work because God works.
Right.
We could talk about that. I wish we could elaborate on that. But we don't have time. So that's okay. But there's a core value. All right, here's another one. And this is what we were talking about a moment ago. Why stealing is wrong. Because we recognize property rights and the ability of people to realize the fruits of their labor and creativity. Again, all of that rooted in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
We create because God creates. We're sub-creators. Creativity comes from God. The fruit of our labor, it's only fair. And that's why the government shouldn't take it away. And property rights, that's why people can't steal. When God says, thou shalt not steal, it implies property rights. I own property.
Right.
Now, I want to give charitably, but the government can't force me to.
And again, it also goes back to the golden rule.
Right.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
That's right. All right, number nine, the ability to freely exchange goods and services. See, that means that I can exchange goods and services with whoever I want to. It also means I don't have to exchange goods and services with someone if I don't want to. And that's part of where this culture is upside down. The government is forcing us to exchange goods and services with people we don't want to.
Right.
Now, it might be reprehensible if you don't want to. There might be instances where it's horrible, but that is irrelevant.
You should have the freedom to do what you want.
That's right. It's beside
with
the
your
point.
Business and your goods.
That's right. That's freedom. And if you don't have that, you don't have freedom. You have tyranny.
Right.
And someone might get their feelings hurt, and we care about that in a Christian worldview, but on the other hand, too bad in a civil society. I don't mean to be ugly. It just means the feelings are not we don't make law based on feelings. All right. All right. Last one, generosity, a willingness to give sacrificially to help those in need and improve our communities.
Well, obviously,
again, rooted in Christ.
Right.
So Scott Allen, the whole point that we would make is, yes, these things are what has made America, America. But what is it? It is the application of the gospel. It is the application of a Christian worldview in civil society. And America is not America anymore because all that's gone away. And that's why the church has to get busy.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List. The gospel. The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.